What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 26th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I know it's late today, very late, but there's a good reason. It's because we are now live streaming this podcast on YouTube, our Plus Pitch Podcast YouTube channel. Oh, it's so exciting to finally do this. We have a video component to it where I'm going to be showing the roundup next to me as I read it to you guys and tell you all about all the little extra details as well. So let's get to it. The major news to know before opening day, Jared Jones does not have any tears in his elbow. It's incredible. He will resume throwing in about 6 weeks, and it's making him on track for about June. So that's really nice. We thought we would just get Tommy John and we'd have to wait until the middle of 2026 to see Jared Jones again, but that's not the case now. DJ Hersey might, because he does have a UCL sprain that is a tear of some kind. He will miss some significant time. We don't know how long. He was already in AAA, but you really shouldn't have DJ Hersey in your consideration for this season. Patrick Corbin, well, you've got a date with the Rangers now. It's April 11th. That's way sooner than I expected. And with Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter in that rotation, one's going to get the bump. I think it's going to be Rocker out and Leiter in, especially considering that Leiter is the SP number two right now for the Rangers. So keep that one in mind. If you do have Rocker, he's going to be in Cincinnati for a game and then in George Steinbrenner Field against the Rays. I don't really think you should be going after Kumar Rocker. You have also Ben Brown as the fifth starter for the Cubs, and I'm not interested in him. He does not get whiffs on his fastball and does not have a third pitch. I've updated all of the rotation breakdowns. I should mention, of course, that Quintana is going to be in the minor leagues to start. And that means both Woodruff and Quintana are still ramping up. The Brewers have like three open spots at the moment. It's really wild. It's nuts. I'm really excited to see Brandon Woodruff, of course, when he does come back. All right, Chris Paddock pitched yesterday, 3.1 innings of 200 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. He threw 20 breaking balls for 5 for 20 strikes. Oh my gosh, a 25% strike rate on those. I love that he's able to sit upstairs with that fastball, and that change is really a split changeup, and that's pretty good. He has a very good matchup first against the White Sox. That's lovely. So we are going to roll with that one and just kind of see how it goes. I prefer Casey Mize. And yes, I do think that they're very similar. Germán Márquez, he pitched, and that's fine. Jacob deGrom also pitched. 4 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. He's at 96, not 97, but I really don't feel like Jacob deGrom is going fully, what is the word I'm looking for? He's not gassed all the way up, okay? He's not going full speed. Full speed! Jeez, oh my gosh. Yes, he hasn't done that yet, all right? Jacob deGrom, probably going to be at 97 miles per hour, but the really cool thing is, oh God, that changeup against left-handers. He was just dotting that thing down and away, not like big misses or anything, 4 for 12 whiffs on it. The changeup, that's not really normally a thing for deGrom. And then right-handers, he just sits away, down and away with sliders and the fastball right above it, and it's beautiful, and he's so good. He's just so good, Jacob deGrom. Kumar Rocker, as I mentioned before, did pitch. 4 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts. He's not really throwing the slider, he's throwing the curve instead. It might be a little bit more of a focus for him right now. I don't really like that approach as much. I think the slider is a better offering. And he's still failing with his command against left-handers. But righties, he's pretty much got it down. Sinkers inside to right-handers, that's pretty cool. But I think there is a little too much polish left to be added for Kumar Rocker. Chris Bubich looked great. 5 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Did I say he looked great? Well, he looked great on the results, but the actual performance, it's fine. 92 to 93 in the fastball, which is fine. It's not 93, but at least it's not just 92. And the changeup, it wasn't as good as I really want it to be. I think like that is the main pitch for him to really get nestled in as a starter in your 12 teamers. The slider is good enough. And I think when you're going to see him in season, it's really going to be such a scrutiny on that changeup to right-handers. So he gets Milwaukee on Monday. I don't love it. So what I would do is I would have someone else who's going to pitch before then up to Sunday. And then you can make your assessment if you want to hold on to that or take the gamble on Bubich. But I wouldn't say Bubich and then turn down any of the other guys going before him. Jordan Hicks, 5 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. The main thing here is I was looking for 97 mile per hour fastballs from Hicks. He was at 94, 95 last year, really at 94, and all of spring too, until last start when it was over 97. And get this, we got 98, not 97. We got more. Oh, it's so cool. Now, I'm not saying that Hicks is like a top 30 starter or anything like that, What I am saying is that the sweeper and splitter, one of those needs to get strikes, and the sinker at 98 is going to be really hard to hit, and he does throw strikes with those enough that you're going to find 5+ innings constantly from Jordan Hicks with a very good defense behind him. It's just a great situation for him to be a quality start machine. Now, when you have those games when the splitter and the sweeper are able to go 67% strike rate as they did here, easy cruising of 5 innings. Right? And it would have been longer if it weren't for spring training as they limited his pitch count. That's cool with me. That's the best version of Hicks is the one that is throwing harder. I don't really have the expectations of him going 65% plus strikes with a sweeper and splitter on a given night. We're just hoping for one of those to be there enough, really, against the batters that they should be successful against. That is sweepers against righties, splitters against lefties. So if it's lefty heavy lineup, we're hoping that splitter gets enough strikes. Okay. Jackson Joe pitched 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. I had a really fun conversation with Ian Osiris on the Kraft episode today, that podcast. If you're not listening to it, go do it. We also do that one live. So go watch that video too on YouTube about how Jackson Joe doesn't get expected whiffs on his secondaries. But everybody's swinging at his fastball, which actually isn't the most overpowering pitch in the lot. The best stuff pitches are the curve and the changeup and the cutter. And I do wonder if he's going to adapt to pitch backwards more often. That is, save that fastball late and get it up and out of the zone. Then rely on that curveball and that cutter and that changeup to get strikes earlier on. Because he can throw those in the zone. And even if they're not getting whiffs, they're not really getting swings. So fine, take advantage of that. Have high CSW marks on those. And then the fastball blow by them at 97 or maybe 98. You can gas that one up as opposed to just getting the normal 96. That seems pretty cool. Casey Mize came in relief of that one. 3 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. The whole thing about Casey Mize is that we've been looking for the slider to do something. And guess what? 5 over 17 whiffs, 41% CSW for Casey Mize's slider, which is like, oh, okay, all right. Now, the four-seamer and the splitter weren't really around. He kind of ramped up in this one. Made it very clear the fifth inning was slower. The fastball then ramped it up in the sixth. And it makes sense kind of as you're coming out of the pen. You don't really know when you're going to be ready. As opposed to your starting routine, it's a little bit different. You know you'll be ready by inning one. I love the fact that Casey Mize is going at Seattle and then getting the White Sox in Detroit. I think this is a really good setup for you to get him if he's on the wire right now. Starting for that first game, and then we probably will like that, and then you'll start for the second one too. If Casey Mize has a reliable slider, that changes everything, because the splitter and the four-seamer have looked good this spring, but that's also what happened last year, and the slider missing is really the thing that changes from last year. My God, what a terrible sentence. The slider was not there last year, and if he has one now, it can be a different result than the disappointment of 2024 for Casey Mize. Thank you. Okay. This is why we do it live. Okay, Jack Ohana, it's why we shouldn't do it live. 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He's still sitting at 95 and touching over 97 with the sinker. And it's really cool just to see him go around the edges with it. He doesn't really go down the pipe, so he's good command with the sinker. He also threw in some sliders, and that's fine. You need something else in there instead of just going 75% sinkers. He's a jack of one trade, and I actually do wonder if Kyle Hendricks being on the Angels will help Kahanowitz. Because these are two sinker command guys, and obviously 10 miles per hour faster for Jack Kahanowitz, but still it's pretty interesting to see I just wonder if that's really going to be an improvement for him over the season, having that mentor, the professor with him. Jack Kahanowitz's first start should be the Cardinals after Sunday, though. So I wouldn't really go after this unless I'm like, oh, I don't want to hold on to this guy. What else is out there? You could get a good stream possibly against the Cardinals. And Dustin May, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. What's really cool in this one is that he really is like a sinker sweeper guy, right? He throws sinkers that run a ton in on righties. He has a curveball that really acts like a sweeper. And there's a cutter in there that's kind of like the bridge pitch, but it's really just sinker sweeper. But he has a four-seamer that has a very flat attack angle. And what did Dustin May do against lefties? He whipped this thing out and landed it upstairs, and it was great. He even had some surprise ones against right-handers as well. That's so good. Dustin May utilizing this four-seamer as a weapon, maybe that opens up more whiffs. Maybe that all of a sudden turns the cutter into more of an effective weapon. Maybe they think that's the four-seamer or not, right? That mix of sinkers and four-seamers can be so good, just like Zach Wheeler does. And then you have a big sweeper and hopefully this cutter to help along the way. I think this is so nice. You already have five innings here at 68 pitches from May. You probably will see about 75 to 80 in his first start of the year. So it might be five innings again, but I think we're pretty close to getting to 85 and 90, which means he could go six innings relatively soon. I'm a huge fan of Dustin May. Max Meyer, five innings, one run, five hits, zero walks, and three strikeouts. And we'll talk about this game after this break. So if you're watching live, well, you'll see it already. You have Max Meyer, five innings, one run, five hits, zero walks, and three strikeouts. The slider didn't get away from right-handers as much as I wanted, kind of backed him up inside, but it's still at 90 and 90.6, actually, instead of 88 from last year. Oh, that's so cool. And there's also a sweeper that he's adding, and it just makes it much better of an attack against righties because he also has a sinker, and then he also has a four-seamer that is actually good now. I'm really excited about Max Meyer. I think there's a lot to like with this approach. He hasn't gotten a ton of strikeouts this spring, but I think it's just because he's pitching effectively. And I think over time, he figures out how to squeeze the most out of his arsenal and just becomes a dependable starter. But we'll see it on Sunday. We'll see really what the full-on Max Meyer experience is like. And we'll take it from there. He's going to get the Pirates. That's a fun one. I dig that. Will Warren is in the rotation for the Yankees, but it's 3.2 innings of four runs, five hits, two walks, and six strikeouts. That isn't the life I really want to live with Will Warren. He is not that exciting of a pitcher. He's kind of a Toby of sinkers and sliders and changeups. I don't love this. Changeup went 1-for-10 whiffs against the lefties. And I think over time, he can have an effective approach against left-handers. He doesn't have a cutter. That's what Clark Schmidt did in the same situation. And I think Will Warren is like a 15-team Toby, maybe. But in 12-teamers, I don't think you need to go for this. Ryan Yarbrough might actually become the sneaky one here for the Yankees because he likely is the one that's going to step in for, say, Stroman or Carrasco or Will Warren when they aren't going to go five innings, right? They'll quickly pull these guys from these games early in the season. And Ryan Yarbrough has experience being a follower. The Friday Pirate has gone two innings before and stolen wins with the Rays. Maybe that happens with the Yankees the first week or two. Just something to consider when you're trying to vulture wins in your AL-only leagues. Luis L. Ortiz, four innings, 200 runs, five hits, two walks, and just one strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? He had a little bit more direction of like four-seamers generally up and cutters generally underneath it inside the zone, and then sliders middle and down. But it's not that good. It's still chaotic a bit, and I don't like it. Tristan McKenzie was in the pen. And look at this. He had 120 PLV stuff plus on the four-seamer at 95. Remember when we were like, hey, are you throwing 91 on that four-seamer? What's going on? Now he actually let it loose in the pen at 95. That's really cool. The curveball had two thrown, and it was about 200 PLV stuff plus. And you're wondering, wait, what is PLV stuff plus? Guess what? We have our own app now for live data where you can track pitches as they come in, and we give you PLV stuff plus for it. So that's pretty cool. You should get that with PL Pro. You can use promo code podcast to get 15% off. Joey Cantillo also pitching this one, and all we really care about is his velocity to be at 92, which it was, and for his extension to be over 7 feet, around 7.2, which is exactly what we got. So when we see Cantillo this year, I think he'll be interesting, especially if he has that command of fastballs up and changeups down and those sliders staying away from lefties. That's all he needs to do. I know pitching is that easy, but if he is doing that, then I actually think that Joey Cantillo can put on a run. And we have Hayden Wisniewski, 4.1 innings, 100 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. That's great, but it's not that great. It's like 8 base runners in 4 innings and 3 Ks and 100 run. And he's worse Brandon Fott. He has a good sweeper and not much else. And I don't really want to go for that. The aforementioned Ben Brown, 4.1 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Again, he just doesn't get whiffs on his 4-seamer. It's sub 10% swing strike rates, which they get hit. Curveball doesn't, but that's it, right? He needs a third pitch, that bridge pitch, and that would open the door maybe for the four-seamer to be more effective as well. I don't want to go for this. He really is built to be a reliever. And Chase Petty went. Get this. Okay. All right. We have three innings of four runs, three walks, and two strikeouts for Chase Petty. I think he's pretty cool. He's more of a command guy in general, but this start is whatever. We're not going to see him for a bit. Just be aware of Chase Petty for when he gets his call. I think he might actually be able to be helpful in your 12-teamers. All right, that is it for spring training. Spring training's donezo. We've got baseball starting tomorrow. And at 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be at playback.tv/pitcherlist. And what am I doing there? I'm watching live baseball. I am not watching game day. I'm showing everybody the actual baseball feeds. You just have to show up at playback.tv, make an account, and put in your credentials for MLB.tv. And I know you guys are all have MLB.tv anyway. Why watch it alone? Watch it with our baseball community, the best one, the Pitchless community, with so many people that are showing up tomorrow. Lance Brodzowski is going to be there. Saris, I keep saying it wrong. Foolish Baseball, Bailey Freeman. We have Eric Samulski and Paul Spohr and Justin Mason and Mike Kurland and Joe Bond. And we're going to try and get Frank Stampfl and Chris Towers in there. And Mark Luino, otherwise known as Draftnik Mark, will all be there across the day. And it's going to be awesome. And we're doing this every day. Anytime there's baseball. Anytime there is baseball on, we will be streaming it at playback.tv/pitchlist. I kid you not. So just come on by, see what it is. It's free. Just show up and hang out with the best community on the internet. All right, that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.